Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we warn you.
Hello, welcome to Night of the Living Podcast. This is Freddie. Amy's here.
I am.
Andy is here.
I am.
And our guest host and curator for the month of September every year for Hispanic Heritage Month, Lewis Fowler.
You know, during Hispanic Heritage Month, actually, I think they're trying to call Latinx Heritage Month. But I think you should get Kelly to record a new theme song specifically for Mexicans, like, bring me lot, you know, give me lots of tamales. I can sneak in with my mom.
I'm down for that. As long as you share those tamales with me.
That sounds pretty good.
That's good about always going to the movies with Mexicans. They always sneak in tons of food.
That's the smart foil that you hear unwrapping down in the second row.
Two things you don't get guaranteed from Mexicans at a movie theater. Foil unwrapping and a crying baby.
So I remember I went to see Lady Bird in the theater and I snuck in a torta.
You're halfway there.
Surprise. Huge. You're Mexican.
I was melding all the cultures.
Oh, that's, yeah. What
yeah.
That's that thing that happens.
You had a torta, then you backed in somebody in the parking lot. Yeah.
I saw the whitest movie.
Lady Bird, yeah.
Anytime you see a movie with Timothy Chalamet, it's the whitest movie ever.
Honky fusion.
Have I ever seen a movie with Timothy Chalamet?
I don't think so.
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, I put you in timeout if you do.
I haven't. I don't think he makes movies for me.
So we're going to be talking about a vigilante action movie called El Chicano for our main attraction. And before that, Andy will be reviewing Evil Little Things.
Just burping out, Freddie. I have a burp that's
trying to escape if I sound strange. Burp. And thanks again to our patrons for keeping the show the lights on, as they say. Patreon.com/NOTLP. There's a new Origins up. We recently did a really like a mega triple episode of Night of the Comic. There's only the video version of that up right now, but check that out. It's fun. And one other thing, our mailing list raffle, we're giving away copies, or I should say Robert, the author, Robert Atone, is giving away copies of his new collection. I should say Ramirez. I'm a Spaniard.
My dog's a Spaniard.
Yep. Ramirez.
Yep.
Isn't it funny? It came up last week and this week.
Isn't that funny?
It was meant to be.
Oh my God.
It was meant to be. I'm pulling up my random number generator. If you want to join our mailing list, go to notlp.com and just
figure scroll. It out.
Figure,
you're smart.
Figure it the fuck out.
You're it's only for smart people.
You should be an adult.
How do you sign up for mailing lists? You go to websites and you figure it out.
Just look for the Dracula stamp.
We worry about you. We worry.
Okay. And I'm going to pull someone from that list.
You're going to do it.
I'm going to do it. If you believe in me, just a little. Just a little.
Just a little. The little.
Boom shakalaka. Number 24.
Number 24.
Number 24.
It's Kiefer Sutherland.
All right. Amanda James. Woo! You're getting a copy of Robert Atone's new collection. The title I'm forgetting right now.
Amanda James is like an Emily Bronte novel. Amanda James.
It'll come in the mail and you'll enjoy it. Just shut up.
Yes.
All right.
But go to Amazon, search author Robert Atone. You can find it there.
That's very aggressive, Amy. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get this book and you're gonna like it.
You're gonna fucking like
you're
it.
You're gonna get it now. You're gonna get it.
I'm done with everybody's foolishness. You're just gonna like it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to record Sunday like we normally do, but I had a migraine, had the whole weekend all fucked up. And then Kelly wasn't feeling so great. And then you'll notice, of course, that Kelly is not here today because he's got work.
He's working on the manual.
He's working on the manual.
The manual for the machine.
Don't worry about what it is. Okay?
That manual Lewis.
He's working on the manual for Lewis.
So we were all ready to go yesterday. Well, I wasn't. But now it's Monday night.
Yep.
Monday night shows, yo.
We're drinking on a Monday night.
I got tequila in my cup.
As do I.
But I got, okay, can we?
I said, as do I. Just hang me now. Gut me.
So you know how we had.
As I will.
As you should. How we all went through this time last year where it's like single-use plastics. We're done with them. So we bought these silicone straws, right? They're bullshit. I hate them because they get shit stuck in them easy. Somebody
should be drinking shit with them.
That's how I feel about single-use condoms.
Right? Get stuff stuck in them.
Not very green.
Like your penis.
Get my chunky semen caught in them.
Have you had your chunky semen? We were talking about... what's that, Andy?
That was a failure on Campbell's part.
Yeah. You have a chunky poop. We were talking about how white trash styles are coming back in the fashion, in the break.
They're being led by Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus.
I love Miley more than anything in this world, but that hair is bad. That's my personal opinion, and it's a subjective thing, and she's still a good person.
I would love to see her funeral more than anything else in the...
You hate her that you hate you her hair that much you want her to die?
You don't mean that.
Well, not just your hair.
Dolly Parton's your hair goddaughter.
So ugly. Yeah.
That sounds suspect to me.
It's true though. It's true. Dolly Parton's goddaughter has that hair. It's bad. The mullet is not good. She can't even make it good, in my opinion.
Justin Bieber though is far worse with his blonde.
Yeah, I got no use for
white trash mustache that looks like it's coming in but kind of not coming in.
Yeah, I got
it's coming in and going out.
I got no love for that.
Well, I can sadly relate to both of them because whenever I try to grow a mustache, it's very Bieberish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is.
And right now I have a mullet, so
yeah, he does. Actually, right now you are rocking kind of like a pro wrestling front row 1984 WrestleMania.
But with his mirrored shades on, though, he looks like Jim Jones of the People's Temple.
I mean, it's not a bad look for you, Andy. Actually,
he's trying to get us to drink Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Andy's got more of like a David Bowie thing going on than a rednecky thing.
Well, you know. Agree to disagree. Well,
between this like 80s haircut and my
1920s pantaloons.
And my quarantine weight, I kind of look my age now, so that's kind of a plus.
Finally!
You could play a villain in a Steven Seagal movie right now, if you wanted. If you wanted to deal with that kind of abuse. I hear he's horrible.
Well, I do need a career change, so I need to hit up Steven Seagal. Is he still a sheriff in Louisiana?
I think so.
Good question.
I hear he's a total prick.
So, speaking of pricks, I have not actively looked out or sought out Captain America's penis.
Oh,
I feel
yeah.
good about myself.
I saw Mark Ruffalo, like.
I feel good about myself and my choices.
So, how's it look, Andy?
Yeah.
Amy, I'll send it to you.
No, I don't want it. I'm respecting the man's privacy.
No, okay. It's
does
not
he
like
care?
I
don't think he cares.
Okay, I didn't seek it out, but I noticed he was trending.
It's on just
Twitter.
That big. It's it came in through Andy's window. It's like
it was the number broke. One, number two, number three. Number
no,
four
I know, I saw
topic.
That.
Yeah,
but I was like, why is this trending? Oh no! And then I was like, don't look anymore.
He posted it to Instagram, right? And then he's like, whoops, here's my giant dick. In case you were wondering if the downstairs paid
just
off
because-
on the upstairs.
You know, only a guy with a huge dick would
Accidentally leak, yeah.
Accidentally.
Oops, only big dicks are leaky.
Well, just because...
I just want to say, I don't know if it was the angle of the picture, but spoiler alert, it's a good size.
was it the angle of the dangle?
It was directly proportional to the heat of the meat, from what I understand. If you want to go back and do the math on it.
But are we even sure that was his?
I have no idea. Was it a penis?
It was yours.
Wait, is it a disembodied penis or is his face in the shot? Is he in the back selling war bonds with a thumbs up like Captain America? And a big dick in the foreground?
It was actually a dick with his face on it, so we know it was his.
Speaking of penis pictures, we guess who was on...
Should we say this? Have we talked about this?
Shame on him. Yeah. Who was on...
We were watching To Tell the Truth. And the lineup was, I was the first Jason Voorhees. And we were like, well, we're out on this one because we know who it is. It's
right.
Ari Lehman. And then I was like, oh my God, is this the first contestant on To Tell the Truth where we've seen whose penis
we've seen?
Because at a Horror Hound once, somebody showed us a dick pic he had sent to somebody.
Yeah. It made the rounds.
Have we ever talked about it?
Is his pubic hair long and curly also?
It has a little leather vest on his penis.
I'm sorry, Ari. I feel that picture that was shown to us against our will in a certain way.
It was kind of,
It was dubious consent.
It was funny, though, the way it was shot.
Don't describe it, because that feels like an invasion.
Oh, okay. No, I won't describe. But
it was a penis.
I won't describe it, but the angle, mm-hmm. like you guys brought it before, it made it very flattering.
It was a flattering angle.
If you're gonna
always take it from the above shot, not a below shot.
Well, this was a below shot, and I'll tell you something. This is, you know, Disney. Yeah. Disney would plus things with the magic of forced perspective.
Oh yes.
You think you have a real big castle in the middle of that park because of forced perspective. And that's what was dealing with here. Like, most of the frame was taken up with the penis, and there's a little human head up there in the corner to let you know it's his. Like, hey, that's attached to this.
Yeah. Penis was actually signing autographs that weekend. Yeah.
So. I mean, you could get like a package deal, like an Ari Lehman.
Package deal.
Yeah. And then it's package.
You know, First Jason's Dick sounds a lot better than First Jason as a band name.
He should have named it First Jason's Dick.
Oh, Lord, oh, my. So I have not seen Chris Evans' dick.
Mm-hmm. But you have seen Ari Lehman.
I've seen Ari Lehman. Amy, you've seen it already. It's so big that you've seen it.
All right, I'll have to believe you.
Oh,
just look out the window.
just look out to the sky. Just look to the stars tonight, Amy.
That's how big it is, Amy.
Save us.
We are farmers. Wouldn't it be great if J.K. Simmons showed up and he's like, believe it or not, we've had this happen before with Chris Evans' dick. And then there's
Chris Evans' dick. We've seen it.
There's a museum with a big brass Chris Evans' dick in it. He's telling the story to a bunch of insurance adjusters, I guess. When are we going to get that shared cinematic universe? The insurance spokesperson... cinematic universe with Flo and J.K. Simmons.
We're like Flo, J.K. Simmons, and then
who's that black guy that was Brad on 24?
Brad Paisley.
Yeah.
And, Safe Driver, Save 40%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
Peyton Manning.
Who would Dennis?
Andre Brower.
It would be like a country.
Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah.
Where Dennis Haysbert would be the president.
Andre Brower, I meant Dennis Haysbert.
How dare you, Lewis?
That is so racist,
Lewis.
It's in a world where the insurance companies have bought up districts. Our map has been redrawn. All the borders are different big insurance companies, and they have like fiefdoms. It's like Game of Thrones, and there's titties all the time.
Why?
You get Flo's titties.
No.
You get Peyton Manning's titties.
Freddie Morris.
And you get that lady who draws the caricatures, who's like Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Oh God, I hate that one. That is definitely the Lannister house.
Yeah.
because that's an evil jingle.
The Limu Emu? Why? God, I watched so many commercials.
Shaq would show up with the general and Snoop.
And Snoop.
Oh, they would be like the Outlanders, like Mad Max style.
Do you
Outlanders.
Understand how much you are advertised to when you can sit and create a multi-character pitch for a insurance company shared cinematic universe?
Right.
Holy ball sack. And I work in advertising.
Wouldn't it be tough? Like,
that's some shit.
You'd have to kick this thing off with like a real winner in the beginning. I mean, who do you go with your first? Do you assemble a whole team right away or no? You got to tease it out a little.
You start with Flo. Duh.
You start with Flo? Is she like the Nick Fury?
No, she's like the Iron Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. And then who would a Shaq come in to recruit her? I think he's like, hey, Flo. You paying for those drinks?
Well, Shaq's not very inconspicuous. Like,
well, you hear him coming. Like, it's like Jurassic Park where she looks at the drink on the bar and it's like, a ripple goes through it.
And she's like, damn it, I'm about to be recruited.
And she's running away from holding flares in the air. And he's like, Flo, I'm not going to hurt you. I just ate a goat. Oh.
So awesome.
I had no idea there were so many insurance mascots.
Until you start listing them.
It's where it's at, man. We should all be in insurance. We should all be so lucky.
No. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else at the top of the show?
All right.
Andy is made entirely of spicy chicken nuggets from McDonald's.
We may have to sneak out and get some of those later.
Yeah, just DoorDash them.
Oh, there you go.
Pay a $10 delivery fee.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
There's a monster in my room.
Where?
Under my bed. Found elephant.
Oh, see if you can find that.
Hello.
Oh.
Are you looking for something specific or just browsing? Everything in this... in this store has a story to tell.
That was just a bunch of noise.
So, at the end, it was just like,
what was that?
That's called.
Hear anything.
Oh, you didn't hear it?
No. I was muted for some reason.
Oh, we're sorry.
I saw your faces. I saw Andy's up there looking like this. Very concerned.
That must have been very weird for you.
You know what it was? I forgot to share the screen with you.
I thought you were playing the trailer, but it didn't pop up.
Yeah, I was playing the trailer. So it was a weird trailer.
They just sat there.
They're little dolls. I'm sorry. That was meant to...
reenact it for us real quick?
Yeah, Freddy.
Yeah, there was a little... first, there was wet sounds, and there were dolls, and then there were wet dolls.
All right, Andy, stop showing us your nipples and tell us about this movie.
Can't help it. My nipples are so big. They're like the Chris Evans penis of nipples.
Look out your window, listener.
That's how the movie Wet Dolls begins.
So before I start, like, what is y'all's opinions on creepy doll movies?
I like Annabelle, the Annabelle series.
You know,
y'all's been on creepy doll movies.
Puppet Masters can be fun.
Yeah, I
Dolls was good.
Yeah, Dolls was decent. Doll Man. Excuse me. I have a frog in my throat.
Demonic Toys.
Yeah, that was fun. But yeah, as a general rule, mostly bad.
Okay, yeah, I think I'm on the same
boat. I literally think we just named all of them and they were good.
All the ones we named were good. And then there's a couple bad. There's a couple bad Puppet Masters in there. There's a couple of, you know.
Are Puppet Masters dolls, though?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Puppets. Yeah, Andy.
Okay. We're splitting.
Is Puppet
we're
a subcategory of doll? So what subgenre of horror is that? Is that killer killer toys is the big parent category, and then there's Italian giallo ballerina dolls, and then there's Japanese robots toys wind up, and then there's electric for a different subgenre, and then there's the subgenre that's for Connect Four, and then there's a different subgenre for off-brand Connect Four, which is like the Walmart brand where the colors are not black and red, but
is
the
this
Walmart
what you
colors
wanted,
are
Andy?
Yellow and blue.
Yeah.
Is this what you wanted, Andy?
Did it help?
Kirkland brand.
Connect
Four. That's Costco, isn't it? There's Sam's Choice is the call. Yeah.
When your Jenga says Junga on it, you might be a redneck.
Yeah. You might be just a beaver.
You might be a horror toy. You might be a toy horror movie.
Get out of here.
You're a toy whore.
You're fired.
Tour her.
You might be a horse toy.
Why isn't there an evil Masters of the Universe movie?
I don't know.
With a little Skeletor.
Was that an evil masturbation movie?
Stab people in the feet.
Why isn't there anything?
Why isn't there?
Andy?
Yeah, I just want to get your opinion on that.
I hope I clarified it.
No, you just made me think more.
Mm.
And I hate thinking.
Right.
Have maybe I had a strike against it already because the creepy toy movies, it's never in my bag.
Yeah.
And if I were to watch a creepy toy movie, I feel like it has to be fun and lighthearted and kind of goofy.
Yeah.
And we forgot Child's Play.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
Child's Play for sure.
Yeah. And because those type of movies, they have a sense of ridiculousness about them. Mm-hmm. And they don't take themselves too seriously. And that was the problem with this movie. It was just so dour and not fun.
So it was like a Morrissey song?
No, like Morrissey songs, even though he's an awful person, it makes you feel things, good or bad.
Morrissey's a bad person?
He has very extreme views.
He's being a pretty big jerk.
Oh, yeah. Really? See, I don't keep up with him.
You're happier than the rest of us.
Yeah, you're not depressed like us.
Ignorance is bliss.
He's been listening too much of his own music.
Yeah.
Smelling his own farts.
Yeah. And this movie was just not fun. And it only had two segments, which doesn't make an anthology to me.
Oh, I didn't realize it was an anthology. Like, from watching the trailer, which I'm sorry you didn't see.
You're the only one who saw it.
The trailer made it look like it was just a killer doll movie.
It had the wraparound story and then just two segments.
Did they both have killer dolls in them?
Yes. That's why I brought up killer dolls.
So you made an anthology movie and two of two segments? It only has two to begin with.
It was about that. It was called Evil Little Toys or something.
No, it was called Evil Little Things.
Whatever.
And there could have been a killer bug story or something else, but they're both killer doll stories.
Oh, my God.
Why did you think I asked a question about killer dolls in the first
place? Well, I knew at least, judging from it being an anthology movie, I thought story was about killer dolls.
Calm down.
I'm sorry. Maybe I overreacted a little bit. But.
Oh, these Monday night shows. You got it on.
Yeah. Monday night shows plus a little tequila.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically you're saying we should go check it out.
Big recommend.
If you like deadly serious, no, not fun, deadly doll movies, then go for it. But I will say it had Zach Galligan in it.
Right.
I like him.
And he made some interesting choices. You know, the actor Leslie Jordan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was just in a Tiger King movie.
Yeah, I need to see that.
Is he?
Yeah.
But Zach Galligan was kind of channeling Leslie Jordan's gay Southern accent in this movie.
That's a choice. Oh my.
But he was playing this really angry, drunken, like stepdad character. So hearing him shout at this child with a gay Southern voice was,
it was like watching Grizzly Knows Best.
Yeah.
See, I haven't even seen that show, and that makes me laugh.
I'm gonna spank you.
That's what he says. It's like, that boy, he needs to grow up. Or I'm gonna spank him. I know it's very exaggerated the way I just said it, and we're not good at accents, but you get the idea.
I do.
That's funny. I'm probably exaggerating how femme he came across, but I hadn't seen him in a role in a while. And maybe that's how he does act in real life, but
yeah, it was just more.
Yeah, it was just a choice. Yeah.
Maybe Zach Goggin goes into audition. He's like, "Let me try this real quick." This is a gay Southern voice.
Just let me play with this. Can I play with this? I like to play. I like to be given space to play and move. He is an acting teacher, so I feel like he probably does a lot of like. Let me have the class. Space.
Say we're going to do Gay Southerner.
Gay Southern this week.
This will be on the final.
It's our Gay Southern unit.
It'll be on the final.
What a specific class.
Yeah.
The horror genre classes in the community college room next door where they're like, is it evil toys or is it evil puppets?
It's evil little things.
And they're like, see, that's why I'm the professor. I know the difference. Between a killer puppet movie and a killer toy movie. Look to your left and look to your right. One of you will not be graduating.
And there's three people in the class. And it's funny, when I saw Zach Galligan, it reminded me of that sad time I saw him at a Horror Hound.
Oh, don't tell that story.
It was like early on in Horror Hound. It wasn't back then. It was.
It was the it was real itty bitty.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was back when it was in the one room of the hotel, so it didn't blow up like it did. It was. I just remember Zach Galligan was by himself, and he didn't have any posters advertising him. He just had his name written on a piece of paper in Sharpie.
I love that. I love that about him.
He probably lost his luggage with all that stuff.
Yeah, maybe yeah. Gizmo like shredded it because he left him in there and he was like,
I done lost all my luggage.
Oh my lord.
I'm so PO'd at the airplane right now.
My fucking Mogwai's missing. I don't know who do I report that to even.
Who do I tell what happened to Gizmo?
Last time I come to this chicken shit convention.
My emotional support, Mogwai.
So was there nothing to enjoy about this movie for you?
It had a cute the dog was kind of cute.
Dog was cute.
The doll, not the dog. Did I say dog?
I don't know. Doll. You know what I've had? Sorry to say. Some
it's hard to say with your Southern accent going on.
Yeah, yeah, the dog was cute. Dog. Dog.
You got to really like move your mouth around that O. Dog.
Well, it did have, you know, that movie VHS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The one of the segments about these guys pick up this girl and she turns out to be this bug monster.
Vaguely.
Yeah. Hannah Fearman's.
Yeah. Yeah. She was in this and it's nice to see her.
Oh, she's in this? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's great.
Is she still in her bug makeup?
Yeah. And she had a gay Southern accent too. It was weird.
That's look funny. Out for them bug zappers, y'all.
Oh my god, bugs. So it's nice to see familiar faces that you root for.
Yeah.
But overall, I would not recommend this movie. Even though it's only two segments, each of them went on very much too long.
I think there's no harm in that. I don't think that, you know, Zach Galligan signed on for residuals from evil little things.
He was just in the wraparound store, so he was even barely in this movie.
He's like, they're like, we can't. Galligan's asking for 1%, and they're like, what do you mean he's asking for 1%? That could possibly be hundreds of dollars.
They could be $10, $30.
We haven't even seen what D DVD sales are, right? Yet VHS.
DVD? It's streaming on Amazon Prime.
But have you guys heard his accent? Definitely worth at least $20.
It's a minimum. Minimum $20 route if you we let him have this. Right.
Goodness, I keep yawning. Not your fault.
Yeah, I guess the only reason to see this movie is Zach Galligan and his accent. And I'm probably exaggerating how extreme it was, but
some people are going to go check this movie out. They're going to be so disappointed that his
that was the only thing. That was all they wanted from it. And then you exaggerated it.
Well, they're like, Andy, it wasn't even gay Southern. It was British.
I'm trying a new character. I want you to tell me what you think and be honest.
I call this character the Admiral.
Sashay.
All right, so we have a little things not a recommend from Andy.
Nah, man,
nah.
I don't know.
But you still get your hopes up really high and check it out.
Check it out.
All right.
Okay, Amy.
We're going to throw Lewis in the mix.
That sounds good.
And because what I've chosen is on Netflix. That works for you, right, Lewis? I almost called you Netflix.
Hey, Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix flower.
Oh, Monday Night Show. All right. We're going to start cranking this Jack in the Box. We're going to jack this crank in the box. Lewis?
Okay.
You're safe.
You're all right.
I'm up next.
Hey.
Kablam.
Kablam indeed, Amy.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. See? Oh, fuck.
I was worried I'd get this one.
It's alive.
I was worried I'd get this one.
Yeah.
Because it's a sequel to a movie I haven't seen.
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's on Netflix.
The first one's great. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's called The Babysitter Killer Queen.
Oh, such a good movie.
Oh, yeah? 2 years after Cole survived a satanic blood cult, he's living another nightmare. High school. And the demons from his past still making his life hell.
Amy, I guarantee you should watch it as a double feature. The first one, the second one, you'll love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really fun. They're very funny.
Did
Amy, remember the movie Ready or Not?
Which I loved.
The lead actress, Samara Weaving.
I saw that.
Did Mick G direct both of them?
Well, he directed this one.
Okay. Yeah. It's definitely up your alley, Amy. It's almost tailor-made for you.
Hey, we know how much you love Mick G.
She does.
I do, actually.
She's a McG fan.
These Angels.
Did he get Me Too'd? Is he like Brett Ratner? Why do I mix them together?
They're both douchebags.
Yeah, probably.
He got Me Three'd.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Holy shit.
Holy cow.
All right. So
Two in the blue, one in the poo.
Ready? Yeah. I will. Is that an Andorian joke?
That's an Andorian joke. If you're a Star Trek fan.
That was a good joke that we just double teamed.
Yeah.
Hit the rock. So I will bring you that review next week.
Uh-huh. All right.
I'll probably watch it too. I haven't watched it yet, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Let's fucking party.
We'll be back. Right now, Alan.
A lot about it lately. The legend, El Chicano, the ghetto Grim Reaper, this mysterious black hooded badass who's been terrorizing LA's most wanted for over 70 years.
Like a lot of our legends, the Cucuy, La Llorona, Chupacabra, everyone knows about it. No one wants to talk about it.
El Chicano was first spotted in 1943, the Zoot Suit Riots. 1958, Mexican immigrants were forced from their homes by the LAPD. A Chicano rides again.
1970, the fighting broke out between police and the peaceful protesters. In the late 80s, Los Angeles Times promises a series of hard-hitting exposés on the legend of El Chicano. These articles never surface.
Recently, as last year, former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa asked about the legend of El Chicano during an interview. He stood up and walked out.
So is El Chicano real or imagined?
Is he an evil spirit or an avenging angel? Well, that depends on who you ask.
When you're asking me, I ain't saying a thing, except this. In the barrio, bad things happen when the sky turns black.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, normally I would play the trailer for a for the main attraction prior to discussing it, but I thought this was a much more interesting piece of audio, and I don't know if this was just like a viral marketing campaign or if that stuff is true. I haven't looked into it, but I thought it was a really cool way to spark interest in the film. So, Lewis, why'd you pick that?
It was a viral marketing thing because the movie was very much a grassroots. Because it was co-written by Joe Carnahan, who did A-Team, Smoking Aces.
Yeah, I love Smoking Aces.
But no studio would touch it because it was an all-Mexican cast. You know, they said it wasn't profitable. So basically, Joe Carnahan had to go out and get, like, oil men from, like, Texas and stuff to fund it. It's not a real... It's a pretty much the first Latino superhero movie. Because it's like, you know, it's like Chris Rock says about never saying never. I'm going to say never. We're never going to see a Latino superhero from Marvel or DC get their own movie. It's not going to happen. So they decided to go out and make their own. And that's what this is. It has some growing pains if you watch it. You know, it's kind of a slow start. But I think it really does pick up. It really gets pretty good.
I thought it was a really solid. I was telling Amy, like, we're watching
this. I had a fucking blast.
Yeah. I was like, this would just be a great cop movie, even without the extra bit of mythology they threw in.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it a lot.
I felt like the last half hour was pretty good, but leading up to it, it was so slow and nothing really happened that I don't think, for me, the last half hour wasn't worth it. For the buildup,
it felt a little like the first part of it felt a little like a cop show, Sons of Anarchy, a little The Shield.
It's very typical of any first origin movie of a superhero. You have, you know, his life before, his build up, all this other stuff, and a lot of times most superhero movies you don't really get to see the hero to the last 30, 45 minutes of the movie. You know,
I feel like it was like a season of Daredevil condensed into one movie.
Well, Daredevil sort of makes a cameo in a way.
It's
true.
I've already seen condensed of Daredevil than Iron Fist, so I'm all right with that.
Yeah, I just think that they definitely try to like make backstories and to build the mythology to because I think they. We're planning on doing more with this character.
They may still, right?
Yeah, they still, but I feel
it
like...
It only came out last year, so...
Yeah. They tried doing too much with the time they had.
Well, also, too, a lot of Mexican movies, Latino movies, because they feel like they might not get a chance to do a second one, try to put everything in the first one. You know, because it's like, this is our one shot, so we got to, you know, bang, bang, bang the whole thing. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, there certainly was some clumsiness, I think, in the script and some, you know, interesting acting choices. And there were, you know, goofy moments. But I think, all in all, this was a solid fucking movie. I would recommend anybody who likes fun action movies and, like, gritty cop dramas.
Yeah, I bought in. I mean, like, it wasn't, like, reinventing the wheel or anything, but it had a great... I love that one of your villain characters has a childhood connection. There's, like, a fateful night in the beginning of the movie that I think sets up the end of the movie really well. Definitely, I think it's a cut above most attempts at this level of like vigilante or hero story. Like, they're usually don't have this much substance to them. Like, the relationship with his mom was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that, but they spent too much time on certain things and not enough on others, just because they didn't have.
What do you mean for example, like, what was the thing you felt they were like spending too much time dealing
just
with?
Just him trying to figure out, who El Chicano was and his brother's backstory, and then you mix in the story of those gang members and where they came from, and El Chicano's own, the guy who eventually becomes El Chicano, his like home life. It was just a lot going on.
Yeah.
But I think it flowed though. It flowed. Yeah. I mean, sure, the beginning was a bit slow. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. But I really feel like the stories all came together very well to make a solid movie.
It could have made a season of like you were saying, this would have benefited from having been a season long drama, like 8 episodes, yeah, to really build up the relationship with him and his brother, and to build up the relationship where his mom with his mom, that's real strained and strange. And like the idea of having more time to explore that would have had a lot more impact when he kind of,
right,
you know, yeah, when the switch over happens. It would have been cool to have both of them, you know.
And hopefully, even leading up to him being El Chicano, it's like, wow, that was really quick.
his training was pretty fast.
He also bounced back from that. Like, I assume there must be some mystical thing going on because he, mm-hmm, like bounced back from being more or less like beat, right, to a pulp. Like even more so than like you usually see in comic books where he's like walking with a cane in one scene and the next he's like training, right, again. And so I was like, I feel like there was something, some unspoken things, well,
maybe,
going on.
Maybe he was faking with a cane like Batman did in.
Yeah, maybe.
Batman Dark Knight, whatever it's called.
Good point. I just took a drink, sorry.
But I really like the acting in this one too a lot. Raul Castillo, played El Chicano.
Yeah, I liked
him. I thought too. He was great. Yeah, yeah. He's actually from McAllen, Texas, where down by where my family's from. I was really surprised with George Lopez.
Yeah, I've never seen him in a role like this before. So
yeah,
it was nice to see him tackle something dramatic.
So, I know. I mean, it kind of shows like his range quite well, you know. I mean, he's almost a cameo, but still, he does a good job. At the very end, when they're at the funeral.
Yeah. Wait, I just want to say, let's definitely get into spoilers. And just in case anybody that you should check this out, it's on Showtime, but let's get into spoilers.
At the very end, the funeral, the mother who takes her hood off and shoots her gun in the air.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part of the whole movie.
That's Kate Del Castillo, who plays in Mexican films a lot of drug lords. She's like in a series called La Reina del Sur about this woman drug lord. She was in Bad Boys 3 a couple months ago as a drug lord.
I haven't seen that
she
yet.
She has all these movies. Yeah.
That was a great moment. I like the tone was a dramatic shift to like a whimsical, almost like a El Mariachi moment there where you're like, oh, I feel like they could get real crazy in a sequel to this.
Yeah.
Because they had hints of that. Yeah, I was going to say the car chase with him and his when his partner gets shot.
Right.
Oh yeah.
That was a pretty intense scene that throughout the whole sequence. Me out,
though, the way it just goes right through his neck and trying to hold down with her on the cart. Yeah.
And the spurt was very realistic. But like that to me is the best sequence in the movie. Because my heart was actually kind of racing and like I was really like I'd like to see more of that sort of intensity in a sequel, and I'd almost like to see him go like even overboard with if they do a sequel to have her, because obviously they're setting her up as a villain in a second movie.
Yeah, which I think would be great. It's a great to have a whole army against this one guy, you know.
Yeah,
it'd be very much like Desperado or something.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was thinking.
It's funny that you bring up that the car chase scene and what led up to it, and like basically that's another kind of a problem I had with it, that his partner gets shot, then all of a sudden he becomes El Chicano real quick. There's like no lead up to it. And
well, I think you weren't wrong that they were trying to get a lot into the movie, and there were some clumsy things. You gotta like kind of go, all right, you know, nothing's perfect. But because I think the movie was charming enough to kind of keep me engaged. I mean, there was. Freddie, we need to talk about the clue. He punched the clue out of the air.
Oh, yeah, when he's training.
And, I mean, there's silly shit that made me laugh my ass off.
Where he's training on the heavy bag, and he's just punching and punching and punching, and suddenly something hits the floor. And it's like,
clue.
It was a clue, you know? And I at the time, I was like, Amy, you think he punched that clue out of the air? And I think that's what happened.
He did.
And the clue was, what was it again? Was it like an address or a name or something?
It was his notebook when they were listening in on the party with
oh, that's right.
What's his nuts?
Yeah.
But that's what, I like that part. I like the silliness of, like, you know, him punching the clue out and the end where she's all the ladies are shooting machine guns in the air. Mm-hmm. I just thought tonally it had some problems because it was like deadly serious at times and all of a sudden it jumped.
The script was covered by Carnahan, who his films are always very tonally, you know, rapidly changing.
Yeah, kind of like From Dusk Till Dawn, even.
Yeah, like Smoking Aces. I mean, that goes from comedy, cop film, and you know, all over. The A-Team, you know, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But Andy, you're allowed to not like it.
But, you know, this was a different director. Right. This was the different director taking his script. So it probably didn't flow as well as if Carnahan had directed it.
Right.
But well, to be fair, I'm glad Latino did direct it, you know.
I feel like if they had like a whole season or 8 episodes to do the tonal shifts, it would be less jarring.
Oh yeah, totally, totally.
Yeah.
But like I said,
I wanted like this, and there were like parts of that I liked, but it would have worked better as something else.
Well, you know, like I said, it's hard to get an all. Sometimes you see Mexican Latin movies. They're independent and like they're usually filmed terribly, you know, shot terribly. But so it's hard to get a studio to back a Latino film. And I think that this one, they might have probably had to make certain concessions in order to get it made because it looked great. It looked great. It didn't look cheap.
Right.
Yeah, it was actually shot at night, which I appreciate. Like a lot of times they just throw that blue filter on and call it.
Yeah. But so they probably had to make certain concessions. But as good as the hit this was on video, I don't think it did that well at the box office. Maybe we might see a straight to video release of a sequel coming soon, which I hope.
I'd donate $10.
Yeah, I would give it like if they had a Kickstarter or something.
It went away. This thought I had. Oh, it went away, you guys. What I enjoyed somewhat about this movie is having to look stuff up and learn, because they're using words I didn't quite understand, and we had the subtitles on because Freddy's deaf. But I had heard the word Chicano, but I wasn't quite sure what it was. And this movie made it very clear that there is a delineation: you're either Chicano or you're something else. And so I had to look that up, and I was glad to learn that. I am a white lady from the Midwest, so that was not something I had ever had to confront and learn. So now I know.
See, I consider myself Chicano, which is a Mexican American.
Right.
You know, that's why I consider and usually call myself. There's kind of Mexican nationals. They usually don't like that term. Because a lot of Chicanos, I mean, a lot of them can't speak Spanish, you know, because they're American basically with the Latin heritage. So, there's kind of a big difference. A lot of older Mexican Americans don't like that term. They think it's kind of derogatory. So there's a lot of back and forth about the term, but I use that term to describe myself.
There was also this moment where I was worried. I was like, wait a minute, is El Chicano this vigilante that simply kills amongst his community? I was like, that's weird that this movie would be kind of glorifying that in a way. And then I realized, no, at the beginning they do talk about how the legend of El Chicano, how he's getting rid of viciously murdering criminals and evil people, and how he goes after the cops when they're hurting the community. So I was like, you know, okay,
it's not like the Punisher. Mm-hmm. The Punisher goes, I mean, he kills, but he goes after mobsters and whatever, you know.
Right.
He just doesn't kill a random person.
Right.
El Chicano was very much treated like the Mexican Punisher, where he was killing the drug dealers and the cartel. So I think that even though it tended to give, I think, Mexican nationals a bad rap, you know, because you turn them all into drug dealers, I do think that it did give a villain to root against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this guy, what was his name again? The big cartel guy?
Shotgun?
Well, there was not Jaws, shotgun.
But the dude from Mexico, the cartel leader.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He wanted to make, to restore the past boundaries of Mexico, which includes California. So he's also a cartel leader, so he's going to move into California and take over that kind of drug trade. But then I think
there is a movement.
Ogallo.
Ah.
Ogallo.
No. All right.
Gallo means chicken. Right.
Yeah.
But there is a movement among Chicanos and certain people of to take back California from America, you know, and it's like the native, you know, like indigenous people trying to get their land back. Because you know, it was technically stolen from Mexico. But I think that was the political point they were trying to make as far as that goes. But that's kind of something that Mexican Americans will get behind more than Mexican nationals will.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you called it the Mexican Punisher, I thought that'd be a great name for a sandwich.
Oh, Freddy.
We talked about sandwiches last week, didn't we?
I don't know.
What would be on a Mexican Punisher?
I mean, I've already eaten. Normally, if we're recording,
Mexican Punisher, I think it would be like a large torta.
Mm-hmm. It'd have to be real big. Yeah. You have to earn the Punisher name, and it would have to be definitely a torta.
Pounds.
It would have pork, chicken.
It would
pork,
just have chicken,
tongue,
queso, just dripping off of it.
Tons of hot queso.
Mm-hmm. It would really
jalapenos,
shrimp. Like it'll have grilled shrimp and fried shrimp on different layers.
And it's like day old shrimp that's been sitting out.
Yeah.
It would come with a gift certificate to Home Depot to get a new toilet.
Day old shrimp taste different than fresh shrimp?
You tell us.
It's been left out.
Yeah, if it's been left out, it tastes like death.
Your imminent death. You know what, but honestly, like what you were talking about, like the politics of this, I don't live in a state that borders, you know, Mexico. I don't live in a large Hispanic population I don't live in like a neighborhood. I don't have that kind of in my face the way I necessarily do.
You do live in a Hispanic neighborhood.
I do have, but there are a lot of Hispanic
but these are in as here, the, you know, he called him a Midwestern Mexican about his partner.
Yeah. The guy from Chicago.
Yeah, well, it's very different kind of culture.
But I don't have that as a reference, so I don't understand these different
When I went to Cincinnati, I was very surprised by that you had Mexicans there.
Actually, we do. You know, I lie. They're
we have a lot. Like
in
we,
our neighborhood even. But I mean, it's just not something that's on the news.
Setting the property values down, huh?
They're lovely.
I got you. Sure.
I love the Hispanic families in this neighborhood. They're very sweet. And they always wave at me.
The positive stereotype.
So I can't be racist because I have Mexican neighbors. Okay.
The great people, but do they have to play their music all the time?
And if they wanted to, that's great. I love that shit.
Whole horn set, live horn sections in their backyards, middle of the night, Lewis.
You fucking go for it. I love that shit.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying there's that not a part of my regular everyday consumption. So you know that there
maybe,
were
maybe if you go into their houses and take them a cake, I bet you they invite you to their next barbecue or something.
We can all get COVID together.
That too.
Mexicans don't get COVID.
That's a lie. But the point I was trying to make is that there were political themes here that I had never really thought about or been confronted with. So I was like, Google. It was fun. Well, I was interested.
That's one of the things I wish they would have expanded on in the movie.
Andy, the movie can't be 80 hours.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But
This is a movie my like Andy's called Mexican Wikipedia, the movie.
It felt like that.
You know,
love it.
That comes back to like the idea there's a lot of meat there to build a series on because you could have a whole thing about these paramilitary style groups, you know, doing missions of that kind. And then you also have like street crime stuff. You have all kinds of stories you could tell.
Well, maybe Robert Rodriguez is listening. He'll run a series of it. Make a series on El Rey.
Yeah. That'd be cool. How is El Rey? Is that still going? Okay. I don't know.
I
was wondering, I haven't heard much about it in a while. We don't get it.
Yeah. So I had a great time. I thought his mom was kind of mean to him.
In the beginning, definitely.
Well,
she was very unfair.
Like, lady, all right, calm down. All right. I mean, he was a criminal. Now, he might have been your son, but you got to admit. Anyway. So Freddie, do you want to tell him about your dumb theory that you held? You still hold to this day. You're still waiting for George Lopez to turn into a villain.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I felt that they were going to do the classic, like, the lovable George Lopez as the ultimate big bad guy at the end. Mm-hmm. And, like, I kept waiting for him to come out doing the slow clap, you know, and be like, hey, El Chicano, you figured me out, you know? And it didn't happen, and I made Amy sit through all the credits even at the end because I'm like, he's coming in. And then we were even watching other stuff, and I was hoping he'd walk into like old episodes of Scrubs and be like, this is all part of my plan.
He's going to walk into your door right now.
Like, yeah.
Oh, good job, Freddie.
That would be amazing.
If George Lopez came over here, I would sit him down and say, how can I get El Chicano too? Because I thought it was fun. Yeah. You said Bad Boys, and then that kind of...
Well, Carnahan also co-wrote Bad Boys for Life, right?
Yes.
So this is very much part of that flavor group.
Yeah.
Which I love Bad Boys. Bad Boys 2 is my favorite movie.
Did you see the Death Wish remake?
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of underrated a little bit.
I thought it wasn't that bad, actually.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it did come off as tone deaf when it comes to, like, you know, the whole race angle, I guess.
Right.
Which it's hard to tell that kind of story and not come off as, like, the toxic masculinity angle and the racist angle, because... I mean, it's just an ugly story to tell, but it was a good movie.
Yeah, it's real good. That's as good as Bruce Willis can do these days.
Yeah. So I like Carnahan. His writing is meaty.
Yeah, I like Smokin' Aces.
It's meaty and rough.
I liked this.
I like a good Carnahan sandwich.
Carnahan. That stuff's top shelf. I hear they're adding that to the Mexican Punisher.
Like, it's part of the sandwich, another sandwich.
Yeah. At so good. Del Muerte's House of Death.
Slices of avocado, tomato.
Okay.
A fried egg.
Okay. You guys are talking about food, and I have this question for Lewis. You know how they always say, like, oh, we need you guys to get you guys on the coast or somewhere to Texas so you guys can get some great, good Mexican food?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, we have Mexican people here. Is the food that much different?
You know, I had Mexican food when I was in Cincinnati. It just is good. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Every city has their own enclave of culture. Cincinnati has theirs. That's what I discovered when I was there last time. And you guys got Mexican food just because here. There may be different little tweaks or something, but it's all good. It all tastes good, you know?
They call it the Royale with cheese.
So, Royale con queso.
I just say, like, the Mexicans, they're still Mexicans. They're just
there's just more of them there.
They just live in a different state. Yeah,
but you know, you get, Cincinnati has good Mexican food. You just got to look for it, you know.
You got good Indian.
Just like here, you know. It's like every place all over America has a good Mexican food. You just got to go look for it and just not expect it to be in the rich white airport town where most people want to go to, you know.
No, you have to go where the Mexicans go.
You know, Andy, I think part of that is just like a local pride thing that California and Texas had Mexican food before the rest of the country did. And like, they still kind of feel like it's a local, it's theirs too, you know? So I think people from those areas are kind of protective.
Yeah, I get it. It's just funny that,
but it is all the same.
You just never hear that about like Chinese food at all. Like, yo,
if you'd like to know more about the history of Mexican food in America, there's a great book called Taco USA by Gustavo Areño, who does the Ask a Mexican column in the all weekly papers.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a great movie. It's a great book called Taco USA. It has the entire history of Mexican food in America. It's a great book. It's almost like one of my Bibles. It's so good.
I love that the sort of books. They're always
because you like to eat.
I love food.
Oh my God, Lewis, my local library has Taco USA and I'm going to borrow it.
Well, you should buy it, but whatever.
Well, I'm supporting my local library.
But like Lewis said, like you just have to find, you have to like search out these places. But I just wish that a place did everything good. because around here, like, one place does tortas really good, another place does
tacos really well. Even no matter where you go, places have their specialties. You do have to go to different places. You just can't get like everything that's great at once.
Unless you go to Cheesecake Factory. We all know that.
That's they do great. That's all the cultures well.
That's one of the things I love so much about Mexican food is that different places have different ways they do things. So you might have the best tortilla, you might have the best tacos, you might have the best whatever here. I do enjoy seeking them out and finding them, you know.
Yeah, then there's, you know, Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett's. Mm-mm. Margaritaville has a Mexican Punisher in Paradise burger.
I like mine with lettuce and tomato.
I love fusion.
Mexican Punisher in Paradise.
Not paradise after you leave it. Okay. You shit everywhere.
I like mine with ham and pork and chicken.
So authentic. Oh my gosh.
I eat so much until I get all sick and
a woman's to blame. Wait, wrong song.
So El Chicano, I loved it.
You loved it?
You know what? I'm going to go with love because as goofy as some shit was and as clumsy as some of it was, I had fun. And God damn it, I've been in my home for 6 months, terrified that I'm going to die and you're going to die.
Uh-huh.
So fuck it. I had a great time and I loved it.
I really liked it.
Yeah, I loved it too.
I want to see a sequel. Again, I feel like it made me, there was enough there that I wanted more, which is saying something.
Yeah, Go ahead. No, I just say, like, even though it sounds like I didn't like this movie, like the last scene, like last 5 minutes made it worth it for me with the widow shooting the gun in the air.
Yeah.
No, that's just so badass.
It is. It was also like campy.
It was very campy. Andy loves camp.
It's very telenovela, you know.
I loved it just because it's the first time really to have a Mexican American superhero on screen. And that was kind of a big deal for me to see on screen. So I would like to see more of them. I hope there is. I mean, because Marvel and DC aren't going to do them. So hopefully they'll get some money to make part two of this. I agree with you guys.
Yeah.
So next week we have, now this week we did the first Mexican-American superhero. Next week is Mexican superhero.
It says here the popular Mexican superhero. Although he's played by a guy named Jeff Cooper.
Yeah. What's this?
Caliman in El Sinestro Mundo de Humanon, which is Caliman in the Sinister World of Humanon.
Ooh, Sinister World.
So, yeah. Upon his arrival in Rio de Janeiro to attend a convention on parapsychology, the incredible Caliman and his young inseparable assistant, Solon, become involved in a chilling adventure in a treacherous Brazilian Amazon jungle.
It looks fun. It looks like King Solomon's Mines.
Now this looks from the campy. Cover.
Like horseback. I love the costumes and stuff. I bought this from Amazon. I think I got the last copy.
It's beat up a little bit.
Yeah, it looks like it's been hit by a truck.
Yeah, mine might as well be up too.
1974.
I like to think there was an adventure that brought our copies to us.
This
like,
is actually the sequel to a Caliban movie. So I couldn't find part one, but this is part two.
Well, God damn it. I always like to start at the beginning. I'll live. Lewis, you're knocking it out of the park this month, but you always do.
Jeff Cooper.
Mm.
His name is Jeff.
Jeff Cooper from TV's Dallas.
Is he on Dallas?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Okay. Does that change everything?
Jeff Cooper, Dallas TV series.
Wow. Does that change everything for you guys?
Wow.
Cool.
But Caliman is the most popular Mexican comic book of all time, even bigger than Santo, but it just never crossed over to America. So be interesting to see how they handle the superhero movie.
Yeah, I was real curious. The name of this reminded me of Temple of Doom. You know, it kept coming to me, the Caliman. Right.
Oh, Caliman.
Yeah. I just think
of Caliman suck today.
Kalima.
So
patrons.
At the end of every show, we always say hi to our Beelzebubs.
And they're coming.
Oh,
believe you me.
I don't know if I do.
Believe you me.
Cool stuff.
You got to talk about dogs and daughters and coffee and whatever.
Okay. For a second. Freddie gave us topics while he's doing this. We'll start with dogs. How's everybody's dog?
He's sleepy.
Sleepy guapo.
How's your dog, Lewis?
How's your baby?
Sean Ramirez. How are you doing?
He says there can be only one.
He's looking at me. He's chewing up a rope or something right now.
So he's fine.
Something that's not his toy, but he made it his toy.
Well, they do that. All they right. definitely do that.
Thanks for stalling, guys.
Oh, well. I can always talk about dogs.
These are Beelzebubs.
Beelzebubs?
Mm-hmm. Ernie Perez. Elise Combrink. Amanda Galetko. Mm-hmm. Cassie and Jeremy Burmeister.
Happy birthday, Cassie.
Yeah. Happy belated birthday. Mark Watts. Blake Heath. Bill Farner. Tree and Alex McNulty.
Hello.
Iona Goodwin.
Iona Greatwin.
Jeff L.
Jeffel.
Emily and Brannon.
Hi.
Adam Ingram. Bill Chandler. Monica Martinson. Blaine Turner. Kevin Corpy. And Alyssa Bam. Thank you so much, guys.
What's my name on here? I donated $1 million to you guys last week.
Oh, we didn't get it.
Well, shit.
Oh, well, okay.
Did you post-date the check?
It might be delayed in the mail. And Lewis Fowler.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm for your time.
Really excited about Calimon.
I am too.
Is it right if I give out my places to find me?
Please do.
We forgot to do it last week.
I don't want you to.
Where can you find Lewis?
Okay, never mind. Amy doesn't want it.
At the Mexican Punisher restaurant.
No, you're allowed.
He's in the corner table.
Oh, man, believe me, I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
I write weekly at The Lost Struggle, THELOSTOGLE, where we take on Oklahoma pop culture. And, and we're looking for Patreons. I guess it's Patreon. I don't know what it is. But
donations.
We're looking for donations there too, so that would be great. But you can always find my writing there every Tuesday. I do a new restaurant review, so that's where you can find most of my stuff. But you can always find me at twitter.com/LewisFowler, LOUISFOWLER, or Instagram at LewisFowler78.
And your restaurant reviews are really, like, it's not one of those things where no matter where you live, Lewis's reviews are worth reading because of the entertainment value. It's not just about, you know, him rating a restaurant. So I encourage you to check the writing out anyway, where you're like, I don't live in Oklahoma, but, you know, it's the classic style of food critic. It's entertainment. It's good.
I appreciate that.
You bet.
Do you wear a scarf when you go into the restaurant?
Like a
around my balls, like tie around my balls.
And they're like, he's here. He's a food critic. Look at the scarf around his balls.
Got a scarf around his balls.
And everybody gets nervous and Ratatouille pulls out all of the guy's hair.
He wears nothing, but it's just a scarf around his balls. And
sometimes I bring my own rat to taste test with me and they throw me out. Like, what about Ratatouille?
All right, guys.
Yeah.
We'll do this again in a week's time.
That's the plan.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for being here, Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Frankenstein was wondering if he